Michael Mola, narrator.
This is from My Kind of Crazy by Robin Rayl. I snuck into her yard like a ninja under the cover of darkness and tried to jam the sparklers into her lawn, but the soil was hard and unyielding. I looked around, desperate, and then I spied a nice soft patch of mulch underneath a cedar tree near the side of her yard. It was perfect, and the sparkler slid in easily. Turns out, it was fresh pine mulch underneath that cedar. Pine trees produce turpentine, so I might as well have lit those sparklers in a pool of gasoline, considering how quickly the mulch caught fire. I didn't know what to do, so I ran, which is why this is definitely going down in history as the most epic promposal fail ever.
This is from The Emperor's New Clothes by Hans Christian Andersen. So off went the emperor in procession under his splendid canopy. Everyone in the streets and the windows said, "Oh, how fine are the emperor's new clothes! Don't they fit him to perfection? Oh, and see his long train!" Nobody would confess that they couldn't see anything, for that would prove him either unfit for his position or a fool.
"But he hasn't got anything on,"
a little child said.
"Did you ever hear such innocent prattle?" said the father.
And one person whispered to another what the child had said.
"He hasn't got anything on."
Suddenly, the whole town cried out at last, "But he hasn't got anything on!"
This is from Tuck Everlasting by Natalie Babbitt. When they came to the part that was now the wood, and turned from the trail to find a camping place, they happened upon the spring.
"It was real nice," said Jesse with a sigh. "It looked just the way it does now. A clearing, lots of sunshine, that big tree with all those knobby roots. We stopped and everyone took a drink, even the horse. Some hunters come by one day at sunset. The horse was out grazing by some trees, and they shot him. Mistook him for a deer, they said. Can you fancy that? But the thing is, they didn't kill him. The bullet went right on through him, and didn't hardly even leave a mark."
But it was the passage of time that worried them most. None of them were getting any older. This is from Arthas, Rise of the Lich King, by Christy Golden.
Taranis's eyes widened as he took in the change that had come over his only son. Arthas's hair, once golden as the wheat that had given sustenance to his people, was now bone white. His face was pale as well, as if the blood had been drained from it.
"It is time,"
Frostmourne whispered in Arthas's mind. He moved toward his father, who had halted on the dais, staring and uncertain. Arthas strode boldly up the carpeted steps and seized his father by the arm. He drew back his blade. Frostmourne's runes brightened in anticipation.
"What is this? What are you doing, my son?"
"Succeeding you, father,"